It's, once again, my great privilege to introduce my good friend and my pastor, Stan Setliff. Amen. You ready to receive the word? Come, Pastor Stan.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Father, we thank you this morning.
Yes.
We thank you for your presence. Yes. We thank you for what this day stands for, what it means to us. We thank you for what you did. We thank you that you're going to give us an opportunity to share in your word this morning. Share in life-changing word. I ask you for the anointing to give this word according to the way you gave it to me. Let it weigh as heavy and as strong on these people as it did me. Let it accomplish in each and every life what it needs to accomplish by your Spirit. Let this church change, grow, because of what you're doing this morning. Let us understand that change never comes without some discomfort. Let us know that that's your hand working in us, your Spirit moving in us to accomplish in us what you've always wanted to accomplish. And we'll give you praise and thanks and glory forever. And everybody that agrees says, amen. Hallelujah. Okay, first I want to tell you the church really looks nice. Thank you for everybody that's put effort and work and time into it. It's the first time we've seen it since it's been totally completed. It is totally completed, isn't it? Okay. Might be something hidden I didn't know about. But the detail, thank you for the praise and the worship. Thank the Lord for all of his help and his blessings. I want to say one other thing. I've already been to church this morning. I will hope you'll listen to me just for a second. And Christians are the world's worst to be unforgiving. Mm-hmm. You know that? If anybody ever makes a mistake, it's never forgotten. And then the God says, and if that's the way it is, I'll do it to you.
That's right.
If we don't walk in forgiveness, we are not forgiven.
That's right.
I think I brought to you the last time. And I'm prefacing what I'm fixing to say with that in mind. Jimmy Swaggart has a new satellite. And I already heard what you said, and I don't want to hear it again. And it is absolutely tremendous. If you can get it, it's on the internet, it's on radio, it's on satellite, it's on cable. He's growing like you wouldn't believe. And I got to attend his service this morning. And I didn't get to hear any preaching. That's fine. The music will take you places that you can't go any other way. He's got some of the best music available. That's one of his giftings. We have satellite, and we have started, and I asked my wife this specifically last night, how much time do I spend of my time on television listening to this? And she said about 75%. So that's the importance I'm giving to it. I've turned off of much of the other. I'm getting so stinking sick and tired of hearing about prayer shawls and Jews and how we're to honor everybody but Jesus. All the gimmicks. I'll sell you this and I'll sell you that to get you in good shape with God. And that's baloney. I'm getting tired of hearing it. I just want to hear what Jesus accomplished at the cross. That is the emphasis of his message. It's come at a time when I needed that same thing. I need to quit getting so smart and getting more like a child.
Amen.
That's the truth. If I want to know what God did for me, then I need to quit trying to figure it out and just receive it.
Amen?
Amen?
Yeah.
All right, if you can take advantage of that, do. You'll be happy. You won't like it when you first listen. Hang in there. You'll learn to like it. You won't agree with everything he says, as I don't. But I don't agree with everything you say. You don't agree with everything that I say. Now let's learn to get along. Grow. All right, I'm going to tell you a little something that happened to us. My wife and I were in Kentucky last week at my son's house, and he wanted to take us to see a passion play. Now, you know me. I'm not much on plays or passion. But he wanted to go, and I wanted to go. It's a church of a size of about 500 people. And I think 10% of them were at least in the play. And it was a good play. all of it was good. We came to the part where Pilate sentenced Jesus to crucifixion, if you want to put it that way. But there is a, in history tells you that crucifixion meant a block of things. It wasn't the cross. It was all of the thing that happened. And so the first part of crucifixion was the man to be crucified was to be beaten. And they were to use a cat of nine tails. They were to lay stripes and bruises and open him, literally open his back. Part of that was to make it more uncomfortable on the cross. And there was no limit to how what they could do. They could do it as long as they wanted to. That's history. It was just to make sure he was in severe condition by the time he got to the cross. Now, there's a couple of things I want to say right now, is that the cross, I heard a great saying somebody said the other day. If we could find the original cross, if we got a hold of it somehow, and we can prove beyond a shadow of a doubt this was the beam that Jesus was crucified on, it wouldn't make a hill of beans. It wouldn't be worth any more or less than this one right here. It's just a representation. Yeah. So let's don't get our eyes on the cross. When I'm referring to the cross, I'm referring to what Jesus did for us. Now, I don't know why religion, my church has done this, but we've removed a lot of the provision that God provided at the cross through Jesus by talking about the cross. I even heard it in one of the songs you sang this morning. We referred to the cross as salvation. And then we don't really believe what salvation encompasses. We limit it to just our sins forgiven. Why? Because that's our fire insurance. And that's the most important thing. Well, if you want to study the word, you don't have fire insurance until you have faith. And you don't have faith until you have faith in all that Jesus did. So we're getting to the point where Pilate, they took Jesus away. And of course, in a play, they're not going to beat a man. And so the lights went dim. They went out. And I've probably been as quick as anybody to refer to the bruises and stripes of Jesus. And you know that. But I heard him. I heard him groan as they were beating him. And it was so repulsive to me that I don't want to hear it. And, you know, you can put your fingers in your ears all you want to, but when God wants to speak to you, he will speak.
That's right.
And that's what he did. He made it real to me. He said that the church is removing the bruises and stripes from the crucifixion. So my people are not truly safe. They're not truly saved. They're not completed. That Jesus took this for us. He took this beating for you and I. And he didn't do it because it was fun. He did it for a purpose, and we're the purpose.
Yes.
And if we do not get serious about the scourging, the beating, we will never have full salvation. Now, even in the walk of Jesus Christ, when he walked this earth, if you will study his procedure, when he wanted to save somebody, he first healed them. That's what he did. He did not divide the healing from the salvation, because it was the salvation.
Yes.
Isaiah, is the next scripture? Isaiah 53:5, right? I'm going to read this to you. You should memorize it. But now you're going to read it. And I'm going to tell you what it says. You're going to hear what it says. He was wounded for our transgressions. That happened at the cross. No. Now. Before the cross. He was wounded for our transgressions. If we don't get the bruises and stripes real in our hearts, we are not forgiven. He was bruised for our iniquities. our shortcomings, our mistakes. This happened at the beating, not at the cross, as the church likes to put it. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. If he hadn't gone to the cross, it would have still happened right here.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
The cross had to take his life, but everything was provided right here. And I got that revelation. Now, I wouldn't have had complete salvation without the cross. But they have to be together. You can no longer separate them in your mind. We don't have the right. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace. Now, isn't it amazing that Jesus got beat so we could be at peace? And with his stripes, we were healed. John 19:1. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him, beat him, accomplished this prophetic statement, accomplished our salvation. Now, the scourging that's talked about here, if you look that word up, is 31:46, which is one of those things that you've got to look down to find out what the total meaning is. But the literal word means to flog. It's still an old word. It just means to beat, which is still a shallow word. It means to whip, from 31:48. I like this one. If you were looking at 31:48, the last part is a disease. A disease was put on him. A dis-ease for our ease. A plague. And it literally came from the word gnaw or chew. He was gnawed, he was chewed, he was beaten for our peace, for our forgiveness, for our healing. The literal crucifixion began at the birth of Jesus Christ. But I only want to consider the time from the garden to the resurrection. The enemy has deceived us into believing that Jesus died only for our sins. Do you know why he would do that? Why he wants to do that? If he's got to give you up to salvation, he'd rather have you sick, weak, and shut up. So he don't get you in hell. At least you don't affect anybody else. And you don't have any fun in life. I skipped the first scripture, Patrick. Can you go back to it? I didn't write it down here. So it's the one in Romans. Now here's the question for you. This is not a statement that you have the Spirit. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead. Now let's stop for just a second. Jesus did not raise himself from the dead. There was the Father. This was a plan of God for him to die, but not to stay dead. If the Spirit of God, who raised Christ Jesus from the dead, dwells in you, if that Spirit dwells in you. Now here's the next step after salvation. Does the Holy Spirit dwell in you? He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So the only way that you're going to have life in you is through the Holy Spirit. What Holy Spirit? Well, the one that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. After being beaten, tormented, crucified. By the way, what's your problem? After Jesus had been insulted, spit on, robbed, beat, stabbed, what was your problem? God came and gave him life to his mortal body. What was your problem? We like to suffer. And we really like to suffer when we can blame somebody else for our suffering. Ooh. That doesn't sound life like life by God through the Holy Spirit to me. It sounds like we keep wanting to stay in the tomb. See, this is Resurrection Sunday. We need to have resurrection, life. That's not a cliche. That's the Holy Spirit giving life to your mortal body. We need to have that in our bodies. I'm going to get heavy into this in a minute, but I'm going to tell you what happened to Karen this morning. Karen's always my biggest target. She's been fighting the cold, and she got up this morning. She didn't want to, but she's got guests, and it just wouldn't be right. And besides that, she's got family affairs. I got to get going. Now, she didn't say that. I'm saying it because she was living it. And I said, "How you feeling, Karen?" She said, "My ears are killing me, and my head is hurting." And she didn't say it once. She said her head was hurting about three times. Boom, boom, boom. "But I'm healed. My head's hurting. But I'm healed. My head's hurting." I'm going to give you a formula for life. Sing another song. You cannot be healed and have a headache. Sing another song. You know why we have headaches? And I'm talking about all problems that you've ever faced, including sickness and disease. You know why we have them? We give place to them. We give place to them. What do you mean? Well, let me get a little more detail. I have to feel like there is a reason that I can have a headache before I can have one. It's the work of the enemy. Well, why? What reason could I have? Well, I've got this cold, so it's all right if I have a headache. Wait a minute. I didn't read that anywhere. This is the revelation that God has given me, so you'll just hang on if you don't. Don't get mad at me. Get mad at God. But we give ourselves excuses for having problems. The only thing that I can see is this right here. It sounds like a better song. Jesus could have called 10,000 angels. Said, "I'm not going through that for them. They won't give me enough glory. They won't pay attention enough. They won't take me serious." I can have diabetes if my parents have had diabetes. See, now for a Christian, it's legal. What kind of lie from hell have we decided to believe? We use a term like born again, but then we go back to heredity. So I'm not fully saved. I'm not fully born again. Help me if I need to say this. I'm trying to be gracious, and I'm not good at that. I'll just keep moving. The enemy, let's just admit it, has deceived us a bunch. The gift that God gave us at the crucifixion, or let's call his life, was to give us life and to give us abundance.
Yes.
And no provision for sickness, disease, poverty, lack of life. No provision. No excuse. Is that a better, more hard-hitting word than provision? No excuse. Luke 22:42. This is where crucifixion begins for Jesus, and it's where it begins for us. By the way, did he say you got to take up your cross and follow me?
Yes.
So you ready to get beat? Let's define that more clearly. Take up your cross and follow me means, would you finally believe what I said happened at the cross? You take it. I gave it to you, you take it. I don't care if it's a gross picture, you see it and you believe it. That's take up your cross and follow me. Follow me means, now I'm life, I'm given life. And that same spirit that gave me life after I was dead wants to give you life if you will do this right here. Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Jesus knew the minute he said that he was crucified. He knew what was coming. And in his mortal body, he said, could you think of another way? Surely you can think of another way. And then instantly he caught his mortal body. Take every thought into captivity.
Yes.
That's the command. He said, nevertheless, forget that nonsense that I just said. It came out of my mortal body. Jesus said, every feeling that you ever felt, I felt.
Yes.
So don't think he didn't have a cut and run feeling.
Yeah.
But he took it into captivity and said, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. There's where we begin, right there. That's where we take up our cross and follow him. John 10:10. Here's the formula. The thief comes to make you say, can we do it another way? The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy. The Bible says, choose you this day. God's way or the devil's way. Life or death. You're going to either choose, steal, kill, and destroy. Give yourself an excuse to be stolen from, killed, and destroyed. I came that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly. If you truly believe in the crucifixion, you've got to have life and more abundantly. And for you, judge yourself, the Bible says. If you don't have life and you don't have it more abundantly, you're not fully saved. We need to get back and see what... We need to hear the stripes, the bruises. We need to hear them being applied. And then we say, thank you, Jesus. You did it so I wouldn't have to. You did it so I wouldn't have to. So I'd be pulled out of death and resurrected in the spirit, to life, and that more abundantly. During that time when I was being ministered to, I felt like he said, they're acting like I didn't do enough. And I feel like I didn't do enough to cause my people to fight for what I paid for. You ever have to fight for what somebody paid for? That's Christian life. See, let's remember something. Jesus accomplished it all at the cross. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. And nobody's going to heaven unless they please God. I'm getting pretty straight right now, aren't I? If you believe that Jesus bore stripes for you, then you must believe you're saved and healed. And that no other weapon before you can prosper.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And that he came to give you life and more abundantly. And so let's go back to Karen. I told her, Karen, you have a headache because you think you have a reason to have a headache. What I was really saying was you're still not, I hadn't preached this to her, so I couldn't say it yet. You're not believing what he did for you. Now, we need to be reminded often because our flesh does not want to believe in healing. It wants to die. She kind of looked at me funny and I said, either you have a headache or you don't. And if you don't, stop saying I do. Start saying I don't. Sing another song. And I didn't have to, we all should be this way. Now let me brag on her a little bit. She said, okay, I don't. And about 5 minutes later, you came to me and said, I don't have a headache. That's what you said. It is so simple to walk in health. It is so simple to not be broke. It is so simple to not be down. It's so simple not to hate. I hate sometimes that I hate. So I just don't hate. And all of this has been creeping up on me, and it blasted me right there in that passion play. It's kind of like it all came together. And it's amazing how much people have changed since I figured this out. Jesus died and wants us to tell others about it. We got to get it straight. Cancer is not real. Can you imagine if all of God's kids would decide that cancer is not real? It's only a suggestion. Well, I know this person that I'm not. Shut up with what you know. Sing another song.
Amen. Yeah.
So you've had a bad experience. So you tried and failed. Let me tell you something. I'm trying to be nice. I really am. Let's go to another scripture. Matthew 10:1. In case you think this is just for me or just for those apostles or just for some big name you're talking about, all you have to be is a disciple. You know what a disciple is? And you got to include the root word discipline. That's why most people don't like disciples, because the root word is discipline. That means you have to control your mind and you have to control your mouth.
Yes. Yes.
And if you're not controlling your mind, you will not be able to control your mouth.
Amen.
So let's get to where we start. See, this is a beautiful church and these are beautiful people.
Yes.
And if you say anything else, anybody says anything else, you're a liar.
That's right.
I got out of grace there just for a minute.
Bring it on.
And who has to be convinced of that? You do.
Yes.
I do. How am I convinced? By studying the Word. In other words, if you just come up and you just dump all kinds of nasty thoughts on me, all I have to do is say they're not real. It's not real. I used to be a little meaner. I used to say, how does it feel to be wrong? No, I'm trying to pull back. It's still true. I'm not who you think I am. I'm who God thinks I am.
Yes.
That's you. And that's whoever you're looking at. If they're bad, let God tan their hides, but you don't.
Amen.
Matthew 10:1. And he calls his 12 disciples to him. Anybody that would follow him, anybody that would obey him, he called them. He gave them power. What did he give them?
Power.
You feel any power? Guess where they got it? Or where they're going to get it? That same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. He's looking for anybody that wants to be raised from the dead. He'll jump on you like chicken on a June bug, and you just get power. He gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Now, just in case you think there are some diseases that are just too big, what does the last part say?
All.
And remember this right here is dis-ease. Not malady. Sickness is a malady. Disease is anything that makes you feel ugh. He gave you power so that you don't have to feel yuck.
Amen.
Now that's kind of childish. I like it. He wants to, look at, when you're feeling yuck, there's God's Spirit that wants to give you power, has given you power.
Yes.
Over that, all you have to do is step into it. Say, I don't feel yuck. Well, I get this headache. Oh, no, I don't. I don't have a headache. I'm healed. And I told Karen this morning that I have to work at this just as hard as she does. Nobody gets by without working. Hebrews 11:6. And if you don't ever remember any other scripture, you remember this one. Our goal in life should be to please God. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Now let's go back to the first. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith in what? What is faith? Without what? Belief? It's all of those. But I'm going to tell you where it begins. It's with your word, believe. What God said. What He did. That's right. And there's another scripture in the Bible that says when a guy's feeling weak, God, help my faith.
Amen.
We get power to believe.
Amen.
To increase our faith.
Amen.
To give life to our faith that's getting weak. Or we just forgot something. God is not looking for a way to kill us. He sent His Son to save us. So quit looking for a way that we might miss this. He's trying to keep us from missing anything.
Yes.
Now, faith. Okay. I get ready to bend over here and I... Oh. Where's my faith? What's going to speak next? I've got a pain or I'm healed?
I'm healed. Out of my mouth.
That's how you control the mouth. The mouth, the tongue, is a, remember, that's a rudder, that a little bitty thing that steers a great big thing. And God thinks I'm a great big thing. And He's given me control over the little thing here. Don't forget anymore in Jesus' name. He gave you power over that. It slips up on all of us, and we got to take dominion over that. God, Jesus would have us forget everything, including Scripture. I mean, Jesus. The devil wants us to forget everything, including Scripture.
Yes.
Especially Scripture.
Yes, especially.
God just wants us to forget everything and trust Him. Without faith, now here's my point. Without works, it is impossible to please God. Right and wrong. Faith without works is dead. What? Come on. That doesn't mean that you're going to get healed by going out and digging up your garden. It means you're going to work. You're going to put yourself in gear. You're going to enforce your tongue. You're going to say, I'm healed when I don't feel like it. You're going to do it until you're either dead or you're healed. And either way, nevertheless, not my will but thine be done, because I would rather die in faith than live in health. If that's my first and second choice, let me please you, God. Don't make me give up everything so that I can be comfortable. That's what Jesus' choice was there in the garden. Come on, let's get this picture real too. Jesus could have turned and walked out the garden and been comfortable the rest of his life. He could have taken that medicine. Instead, he walked in faith, knowing that he could die. He would die. Now, the most sane statement that all of us could make is, I will not make it out of this life alive. So, and it's always strange to me, and I've noticed this, even me, the older you get, the more you want to live. And the younger you are, the less you care about it. Just the opposite of the way it should be. Harry, do you work at being saved?
Yeah.
You're trying to be saved?
It's every day. Salvation is every day.
Are you trying to be saved? Are you saved? Are you trying to be saved? Are you saved? What else do you have to do to be saved? What else do you have to do to remain saved? See, there's what the difference. I believe that my sins are forgiven. I cannot do anything else to be forgiven. Why can't I do the same thing for healing? It happened the same time. Actually, it happened before the forgiveness. Why do I have a hard time? And I do, and I work at it. So the thing that I work at is not being saved, it's believing I'm saved. It's not being healed, it's believing I'm healed. I already know I'm healed. You've heard me preach for 15, 20 years and I've never backed down from that.
You know that you're healed. Believing is past. Now you got to know it.
Knowing?
You don't have to believe anymore.
Okay.
I was in the hospital and I guess y'all prayed for me in that. I got out of the hospital. I feel that I am well. I worked until after 12 last night. All day. I got up in the morning. Worked all day.
Praise God.
Up until 12 last night in my house.
That nearly sounds like you got a spirit that's giving you life to your mortal body.
I know God had healed me.
Okay. Y'all brought this word know up. Let's just stay there for a second. From Genesis to Revelation, the word know means what? Intimate relationship. Out of that, there's got to be a birth. God moved upon Mary and Jesus was born.
Yes.
And you'll find it, knew her. It's what it says, knew her. And every time you find the word know, there's going to be a birth.
Amen.
This is how poignant the word know is. See, when you say I know, then that means you've entered into an intimate relationship, a knowledge. You know something that nobody else knows. And out of that, there's life. But the only way it's going to happen is for your intimate working. You've got to, like I did there in that passion play, you've got to see it, hear it, feel it. You've got to know it, and you don't care what anybody else is trying to tell you. And then we know from this scripture that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him.
Yes.
So there's two things that we're going to do. We're going to work our faith, and we're going to diligently seek him. You understand what I said?
Amen.
Two things it's going to take, it's going to consume our life, is to work what we know. Trust what we know. It's work.
Yes.
If you don't think so, you're going to find out. This morning early I heard, I don't know if I should do this to you or not, because you're now responsible for what you're hearing. Then you diligently seek him. In the seeking of him, you're going to know him more. And you're going to know him better. And you're going to be filled with more life. There's more of Jesus going to come out of you. I wrote down here, why have my people forgotten what I paid for? If they cannot have faith in this part of the payment, they will have no part in the rest of the payment. If you can't believe in healing, you're not going to believe in salvation. That's the crude way of saying it. We have made excuses to cut off the bruises and the stripes and the beating of Jesus and only taken the easy part, which I didn't have to do anything for. We're a bunch of lazy, lousy Christians. We don't want to work for anything. We just want the nails to go in Jesus' hand and it's done. Now I can do whatever I want and still make it to heaven. My statement to you is no. God's statement to you is, if you don't want to believe all of me, I'm not going to let you believe part of me. Now you're responsible. And it's me. And if you think I haven't had attacks since I've heard this, you don't know what you're talking about. I've had invitations to death in every direction that you can imagine. I'm fighting stuff right now that's no more real than the man in the moon, but it hurts. So I'm just turning down the pain now. No, it don't hurt. Well, how in the world can you say it hurts if it hurts? It don't hurt if it hurts. It don't hurt. Which is more real, Jesus or my feeling? Nothing. I have to say that or I'll get the pain. Amen. I'm required. I don't have the right to pain. Oh, I know you want to throw something at me. I do not have the right to have pain. Right. It's illegal if I'm entering into the covenant that is offered to me.
Yes. Yes.
The one we're talking about. Yes. I can't have both. I'm sorry. I know you don't like this. But I cannot have sins and forgiveness, and I can't have healing and sickness.
Yes, that's right.
I got to give up one of them. And I can't pick part of that. I've got to take it all.
Yes.
Otherwise, I'm going to live in sin. And I'm going to make excuses of why I live in sin. You don't believe some of the crud that I've heard in the name of Jesus. It sounds so innocent. Bill, your sins were forgiven over 2,000 years ago. And no matter how much you sin from this day forward, they're forgiven.
Wow.
That's a liar from hell. You better watch what you're saying. You just kicked God in the shins, and he can kick harder than you can. And he won't take that forever. Not your sass, not your smart aleckness. Now I'm going to do what I want because your covenant says I'm forgiven. You're not getting by with that.
That's right.
You will pay. There are repercussions for sin no matter what anybody says. Anybody says any different, just turn them off. Your body's going to lie to you, turn it off. A lousy preacher's going to say stuff like that, turn them off. Walk up to him and say, I don't believe what you just said. And I'm not going to hell with you. There is a real hell. You do know that, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
We've also, the enemy is trying to eliminate that from Christianity. And it's not. It's there. You will not be allowed to believe in heaven and not believe in hell.
That's right.
Yeah.
And don't try to go the one that showed up at my doorstep? Jehovah's Witness. Well, they don't even believe in heaven or hell. Well, they believe in heaven for 144,000. I said, you do know there's been 144,000 better men before you. They don't like that. But so their remedy is, okay, we'll just live in heaven on earth, but we'll still be tempted. Now, I looked at him, and I'm gonna carry this through. I said, look, I'm a dirty, rotten sinner. I'm fixing to commit suicide. I'm tired of life. Tell me what you have to offer. If you're telling me that I can give my life to Christ and live here on earth and be tormented for the rest of, for eternity, I'm looking for a better way. I don't want your God. Mm-mm. How can I say that? Because I know that wasn't true. I said, your trouble is, and you listen to all of you, you're going to a group of people and you're studying the scriptures that somebody's picking for you so that you'll believe what they believe. You're not studying the Bible on your own. You're not seeking. You're not diligently seeking him. Or you would know this was a load of doo-doo. And you could end up in hell believing it. Now that's every day. The most subtle message that I've ever heard is the one we were just addressing.
Amen.
Because you have a cold, you have the right for a headache. Now this is a simple one. This is not even life-threatening.
I don't take pain pills.
Good.
But I wish I'd had one then.
You did.
My back was hurting really bad. But but I came to church and go for it.
Yeah. Praise God. She popped a Jesus pill.
Amen.
I mentioned diabetes. The reason I asked Harry that, because I was sitting with a good friend who was having a sugar problem. He was having diabetes. And his wife was having other kind of troubles. And I asked him, I said, are you trying to get saved, Paul? He said, no, you were there when I got saved. Yeah, I remember. I just want to know if you did. Now the question is, why are you trying to be healed? Why don't you just be healed? Everything is based on a decision. Your whole life is based on a decision. And the person that has the last word wins.
Amen.
That's as spiritual as I can get to you today. That means you are not allowed to go around saying, I got a headache, I got diabetes, I don't have a job, I got this back problem, I got this foot problem, I got this. Why don't you start saying the truth? I remember when Jesus took care of it all. I remember. It was vividly shown to me. So the good part about a convicting revelation is you just had intimate knowledge with correction.
Amen.
You know what I realized there? I watched them mimic the driving of the nails through Jesus' hand, and it didn't bother me. Are you listening to me? You have seen the crucifixion so many times that it doesn't upset your stomach. But I had just walked through hearing by the Holy Spirit, by that same Spirit that brought life to Jesus' body, was given life to me. All of a sudden, we call it a revelation. There was an intimate knowledge of a new, it was a new revelation. Now, Bill, you don't grasp that. Because you've been around long enough to know that I believe in healing. I've never tried to discount healing. But all of a sudden, it's different. It's totally different. And I want that to become so real that next time I go to a passion play and I hear the bruises and stripes, it doesn't bother me. Does that make sense to you? I'm so into salvation. Now I'm so into healing that, okay, that was cool. That was good acting, boys. That's good. But I couldn't handle that right there. I had to go. God took me somewhere else. Oh. Where do I go now? We have been deceived. For disciples of Jesus, our right or our excuse to have sickness and disease is gone. And if we believe it's not gone, then we don't trust Him. The Bible says, unless I become as a little child, I can't enjoy or understand the things of the kingdom. And what I just said was just as childlike as it can be. You know good and well what I said to be true, that if I can trust in sickness and disease, I'm not trusting Jesus. And if I'm trusting Jesus, I can't believe in sickness and disease. Can I have grace and mercy? Absolutely. Absolutely. I can understand why you haven't caught up yet. Now let me introduce you to the truth. And let the Holy Spirit try to give life to that situation. But somebody has to be touched. You know Paul Lavoie. It's the same guy I was talking to you about. And this is what I told him. Two things. I said, Paul, he's just put out $300 for this package to teach him how to pray to get people healed. Oh, I just read you a free package that explained it all.
Amen.
I didn't try to sell it to you. Now he's another $80, he's going to a seminar so that they can actually practice if he's read his books right. This is works. This is religion. This is a lie.
That's right.
I could go so many directions right now. My goodness. I've told you before that the best prayer I ever saw was never spoken. My dad had there was something going wrong in his head. He was about to blow up. And I said, to teach my dad. And I didn't know that's what it was about. I figured it out later. I said, and then little kids, my two little kids. I said, Grandpa needs prayer. And they just went over like this. Just about that abrupt. Both of them. One on one side, one on the other. And then went off playing. Didn't even wait to see results. Instantly his head was fixed.
Amen.
The Bible says, unless we become his little child. At that time they couldn't even read the scripture. But they'd been pounded on with it. And they believed it. And my dad couldn't even believe his headache was gone, because he was the one who believed you had to pray pretty. You had to be knowledgeable. You had to understand all this scripture. This is what I told Paul. I said, Paul, when I first met you, you'd come to my, and I'd read scripture with you, and we'd talk, and then you'd go out in the street, and you'd lay hands on, and the sick would recover, people would be healed. I said, do you remember? Yeah, I remember. I said, that's when you were stupid. Get stupid again. Quit trying to learn everything. The more we learn, the less effective we get.
Yes.
And he said, well, let me tell you something I've never told you before. The reason I went out there and laid hands on and prayed, he said, my wife and I used to go play basketball every week. Crazy. With college kids when we were not college kids. And we put it all in there. And he decided to show up and play one day. He played on a hardwood floor barefooted. Now, in case you don't know, that's dumb. But it's his feet. Well, the next morning he comes into my where I was, and he's walking like he didn't have shoes on. Couldn't wear shoes. And he couldn't hardly walk. And I said, Paul, what's wrong with you? He said, I tore my feet up. I can't even move. They ache so bad. And I said, well, come on back. Let's pray for him. And laid hands on him, and his feet were instantly healed. Mm-hmm. Put his shoes on and went on like nothing had ever happened. Amen. He said, that's the day that I decided healing was real. You hold someone's life in your hands. It's not just about you.
Yes.
Your healing is not just about you. It's so that God can have an effective member.
Yes.
It's so that that effective member can minister to another effective member.
Yes.
I said, well, then, Paul, let's get dumb again. Let's get dumb again. Let's forget everything we've ever heard. And let's get back to what the Scripture says. And let's believe.
Yes.
By the way, we're talking about healing, but that's all problems. That's all addictions.
Yes, yes.
If there's an addiction in your life, whether it's... Don't make it as what it is. Who needs to list them all? I'd rather list healing.
Amen.
You know, one of the things that disappoints me a lot, too, is that in that picture, I saw the suffering, the working that Jesus was doing. He worked himself to death for my salvation. And we're afraid to stand a little. Oh, man, if I get this little pain... I've got to run to a doctor. If I get this little problem, I've got to run to a counselor. Okay, the supreme physician, the counselor, the mighty counselor, the Prince of Peace. That's who you got to run to.
Yes, right.
Well, yeah, but what if it don't go away? Believe a little more. Well, you're meaning if I don't get healed, it's my fault? Yes.
You got it.
Yes. If you don't get saved, it's your fault. You didn't admit that to me. Why wouldn't you admit the healing part? You'll never get forgiven if you don't confess. God, I've missed healing so many times. I'm sorry. I am sorry. Let's make a deal. Let's don't do that again. Instead of sitting there saying, you're telling me that I'm guilty. No, I'm not telling you you're guilty of anything. I'm telling you there's a better way. Forget the guilt. We make great excuses for being sick. Age. You know people are sick because of past sins and mistakes?
Yes.
What past sins and mistakes?
Amen. Amen.
Society tells us we have to be sick.
Yes.
We have to. It's my mom and dad's fault. It's my fault. It's how I eat. It's got to be how I eat. Well, so far the people I've watched that are worried about what they eat, they come up with 20,000 different formulas and none of them work. Our economy. The reason I don't have money is the economy. The reason you don't have money is you're not believing for it.
Yes.
And heredity. Oh, that's a good one. We have no reason or excuse, listen to this, that's bigger than the cross.
Yes, that's right.
Somehow we get in our minds that all this little old thing called gallbladder, God made it. God put it there. He knows how the upkeep works.
Yes.
We can pull right now in with our cars into a service station. They plug in this little computer and bloop, there's the problem. And now it's fixed. We don't have that much faith with God. We'll run to a quack that's probably sick himself, that's given medication and doesn't even understand what the medication does. And we trust him. But we don't trust the maker.
Yes.
Just plug in and let him fix it. How do I do that? Faith. If we love Jesus and we say we trust him and the word, then we must obey and honor his word and no other word. By the way, his word has to come out of our mouth.
Yes.
Or it's another word.
Yes.
I can't even trust what I say.
Amen.
Unless it's what God says.
Yes.
So don't think this is all about a new age. Say it, name it, claim it. It is say it, name and claim it. It's not new age, it's old age.
Amen.
It's what really works. If I use his word and I'm healed, is his word.
Yes.
And I don't have pain, is his word.
Yes.
And I don't have reason to have pain,
yes,
is his word.
That's right.
I just need to know where that word came from. It does take work. James 2:20. I'm going to get through with this. I don't care if it takes all day. James 2:20. Well, I'm telling you, it works. It works. I'm telling you right now, I've got some problems with people. I used to have problems with people. I don't have them anymore. There are people out there that hate. There are people out there that fight dirty. I don't know them. If I get involved in that, I'll want to hate back. So I just don't know them. I don't know who they are. Well, who hates you? I don't know. I know they do, but I don't know who they are. No weapon formed against me is what I know.
Amen.
James 2:20. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Now, we always want to apply that to everything else, but let me tell you something. If we're cutting out part of the crucifixion, that our faith in salvation is dead. Amen. We've got to take everything that God is, or we can't take part of him. Well, this just won't fly. I don't want it to fly. I want it to work.
Amen.
Well, this will be rejected by the church. Oh, I'm sure it is. Church is going to hell. If they don't change, they're going to go to hell. Because we're going to do it God's way, or we're going to go the other way.
Yes.
I'm not so gracious in that anymore. It's time for us to be saying that you're going to do it God's way, or you're going to hell. And you're going to be uncomfortable while you do it. Luke 9:23. Back to what Jesus did. Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. Look at the word daily. Once saved, always saved. It's erased. I pray for healing once and I don't have to pray for again. It's erased. You got to take up the cross. That means believe in what happened at the cross on a daily basis.
Yes.
I'm going to say on an hourly, on a minutely basis. Because
yes.
He's going to come fast, hard, and furious if you get a hold of this. And there is no victory without a trial, without something you fight for. And you're never going to know if you have a victory unless you fight. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. What self? I have a headache. Is that self? Is that your mortal body? That's not your spirit man talking. Well, deny that.
Amen.
Do you fight or love? Because he says love by even your enemies and turn the other cheek.
That's the part of me I want to show the enemy. The cheek that I want to show the enemy.
Yeah.
That's it. Me and you, that's fine. There's a lot of things that I can do to love. But love doesn't work unless it's in faith.
Yes.
I'll go further yet and use a different word. Don't ever fall in love. Fall in trust. And love will follow.
Amen.
Yes. I think you have to love for you trust.
No. I cannot love something I don't trust. That's why we have a 60% divorce rate. We fall in love, lust, and we never develop a trust. You know why I trust her? She's been here a long time. She gets a little once in a while and doesn't like me. I'm so perfect. Come on. We're going to trust. Let me tell you something. We're going to trust no matter what. Just remember that you can trust the headache or you can trust the healer.
You trust the healer, you get rid of it.
That's right. And I don't have to be in relationship with the headache.
Amen.
That's how simple this is.
Amen.
I want to... You know, I've got a cousin that's probably worth $100 million. And his wife doesn't know where any of it is. She got mad at him one day and tried to file for divorce and found out he doesn't own anything because he didn't trust her. And I remember when they were newlyweds going over to the house. We got in the other room and he said, "Stan, I don't trust her." You must, now let me tell you something. The wrong of this is he did trust her. He trusted her to steal everything. See, you're always going to walk in trust. You just decide what you're trusting. You're going to walk in faith. Where are you going to put your faith? Here's my truth to you. Your faith in God tells you that you can't trust mortal bodies, not even your own. So don't trust your body. When it tells you that you're sick, call it a thief and a liar. Don't trust it.
Amen.
And don't ask somebody that depends on your body. Who would that be? Well, if I take my car into a mechanic, he will find something wrong. It's the only way to make money. So if I take this car into a, do you think he might find something wrong?
Oh, I think so.
Oh, you can risk your life on it.
Yes, and you are.
I can go to Jesus and say, you know what? I don't feel so good right here. And he said, remember? Oh, yeah. Okay, thank you. What a quick fix. That's right. This body will play out, but it doesn't have to wear out.
That's right.
You know, I got up at before 5 o'clock this morning, and I think my wife asked me why, and I said, because I ran out of sleep. I just ran out of sleep. And I got up, and one day, I'm going to run out of steam, and I'm going up.
Amen.
It's that simple. But I don't intend to be sick at all to accomplish that. By the way, I enjoy God's breath of life. So the way if he wants me, all he's got to do is go. He doesn't have to make me sick. He doesn't own me sick. He can't make me sick.
That's right.
So I just want him to, when it's time to go, go. That's it. Our work is to believe Jesus. Not in what we can do or what someone else can do for us. Not in what we can do or what someone else can do for us. I'll have no other gods before me. Okay. Now we're standing up and we're saying, praise God. Next week, is anybody going to be able to accuse us of having faith? Will there be enough evidence to find me guilty? I intend to believe the report of the Lord, not somebody else. I want to be guilty of blind faith. Okay. 3 John 2. By God's inspiration, John wrote this. This is just like God saying it to you this morning. Beloved, I pray that you all may prosper in all things. Prosper in all things and be in health in all things, just as your soul prospers. Whoa, wait a minute. Whoa. We didn't get that last part. I'm not going to prosper in all things unless my soul is prospering. How does my soul prosper? Well, it's seeking God. Isn't that what the previous scripture said? It's a seeking God with all my heart. My soul prospers. You know what happens then? God comes to me and says, listen, sometimes you ever want to just slap God? Come on, be real. You know how much I've believed. My wife knows how much I believe for healing, believe for this. You know how much I've preached about it. And here comes God telling me, you don't even know what you're doing. Now, do I slap him or believe him?
Believe him.
Okay, I'm convicted. I don't know what I'm believing. So what do? I study. I study. I read. I analyze. I want to know, God, what is it that you're saying right there? Well, there's one right there. Don't read part of the scripture. Read as your soul prospers. If things are not going right in my life, well, get in the Word. And just expect him to answer.
Yes.
By the way, I like that. I wish of all things. Did you get that part? No, because this is New King James. King James says, I wish above all things. I wish above all things. Praise God. We needed you. We needed you. If nothing else, we need something to pray for where his prayers are answered.
Amen.
Yes.
If God wants this for you and I, and he does, then why do we trust another? Faith is the costly, true, and only way. When are we going to stop being modernized followers and be sold out believers? S-O-U-L-E-D, sold out believers. Guilty of being insane about God and for God. I want some people to call me crazy. I want that. Oh, by the way, I haven't been short lately. It's okay. This day, let us commit to honoring the sacrifice and gift that God, through Jesus, did for us, gave us. Let us stop saying we love and trust him and seeking lesser ways. The gift is here in full. All we have to do is believe in full. No backup plan. No insurance plan. As Jesus did, die to my will and thoughts and say, Father, you know best. I trust you, and I don't trust anything else but you. Amen. Now, Stan, do you really believe what you're saying?
Yeah.
I've only got my word, but that's all I need because I don't answer you anyway. My word is what I give God, and God's word is what he gives me.
Yes.
And all I got to do is live on God's word, and he will give me life for mine. Amen? I am relieved. I've been battling this like you wouldn't believe. And I'm just going to trust God that if you're mad at me, he makes you kiss your mad spot.
Amen.
You get over it and you get on with it.
Yes.
Now, when you're having problems with a person, with people, places, things, don't take it out on people, places, and things. The Bible says you're to cast all your cares upon him.
Yes.
Because the reason is you can't do it anyway. And he never asked you to do it. Here's what he's asked me to do. Believe what he says. And then because of the calling that I have, I can't have any choice. I have to tell you. That's what God requires of me. But he doesn't let me off the hook. First, I've got to believe it. I can't. You don't know how many people I know that preach and don't believe. And they can go to hell doing that. And probably will if they don't get it straight. Let's don't say we love God and not believe him. Let's don't say we love him and not trust him. You know, a long time ago, and the other church that I'm going to now has picked this up. When you prayed, you tell God that you trust him. I always say, I love you, Lord. But more than that, I trust you. And believe me, people want to know what you're trusting. I don't trust in, my trust is not in Armageddon. My trust is not in somebody cutting my head off. What a foolish thing. My trust is this. I'm going to be like David. No, you're not going to cut my head off. I'm going to cut your head off. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to walk around holding you by the hair of your head for a week just to show everybody what I believed.
Mm-hmm.
Quit being soft, sissy Christians. Faith without a workout is dead.
Yes.
How much workout? How about 70 times 7 a day? Forgive yourself for making mistakes like, I got a headache. Forgive yourself instantly. Don't hold that against yourself. Just say, no, that's not true. That's not true. Call a lie a lie. Call the truth a truth. We're going to be here at least till next Sunday. Not today. I would really like it if you guys would give my wife the opportunity to preach to you Wednesday night.
Amen.
Yes.
So be it.
You're going to find out what God's doing in her life. God is doing something in every person that's seeking God. He's working. He's upsetting the apple cart. And the more you think you're a person of God, the more he's going to upset your apple cart. He's going to come to you in what you think is your strongest place, and he's going to rattle your cage. And you know what? With an honest heart, I hope he does me over and over and over and over and over. I want to know more about him, and the best way to find out is to know him.
Yes.
And have him come to you and say, Bill, I don't like what you're doing there. Or he doesn't do it that way. He gives you a revelation that shows you that you've been missing the mark.
Yes, yes.
And Christians are the world's worst. They don't want to miss the mark. They don't want to say, forgive me, God, which is the basis of their salvation. They want to say, hey, that guy's wrong. No. I'm not wrong. What I'm telling you here is right. You don't believe it? Study what I just read to you. Study the crucifixion. Study the bruises and stripes. I just showed it to you in Scripture so you wouldn't doubt me, but you probably doubt me anyway. I'm telling you, it's up to you to be healthy. It's up to you to be prosperous. It's up to you to be whole. It's up to you to have a sound mind. And the only way you're going to know how to have a sound mind is when God tells you you're a little crazy. Can you take that from God? It's healthy for you. If he just comes to you in the middle of the night and says, hey, don't like what you're doing. Or shows you a picture that shows you you're doing wrong.
Yes.
See, I didn't take any condemnation for that thing he showed me.
Yes.
But to me, that's just an open door where I can get moving better.
I love it.
Yeah. That's the way it ought to be.
Yes.
Okay, I've kept you way over time. No, I haven't. See, I've got to correct myself all the time. I've done exactly what I was supposed to do, where I was supposed to do it, and how long I was supposed to take.
Yes.
Now, this is Resurrection Sunday. Don't go to a family thing and have that pulled away from you.
Amen.
Tomorrow's Resurrection Monday.
Yes.
Every day. That's when you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead is going to visit you tomorrow and raise you into life from some kind of death. Believe it. Look forward to it. Look forward to your resurrection tomorrow. Not even your choice. God raised. I'm going to say it this way. Jesus didn't ask to be raised from the dead. God raised him without him praying.
Amen.
That's how much he loves. He set an example. Tomorrow, God, in some way, is going to visit everybody here and give them an opportunity, a way, an insight on how to be lifted up in a death that you didn't even know you had. No condemnation. No condemnation.
What do you think? I feel that I am healed from a mental illness.
Well, I think you're crazy for believing that. You do.
I did, but that isn't why I went in the hospital. They changed my medicine from one to another, from lithium, because it was ruining my kidneys.
Well, here's some life. The same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead is going to speak to you. There's only death in medication. There's no life. There's only life in Jesus, no death. Choose you this day, life or death. There's no medication that's created that isn't harmful to your body. Please understand that. The doctor understands it and gives it to you anyway. Because he's more interested in your money than he is. I'll give you one. If you ever get diagnosed to have high blood pressure and they issue high blood pressure medicine, he will never take it away even if your blood pressure goes to rock bottom. Because it makes him liable.
Mm-hmm.
So you're forever. What medicine was good?
Well, the doctors that gave you medicine.
They cared about you.
Yeah.
Used to, they cared about you.
Yeah.
Now, they've got a lady hired that fills out insurance payments, and that's who you are. You're the next insurance payment. Are y'all watching this? I want you to listen to me. If you don't put a period at the end of the sentence, your healing is not confirmed. You need to have a last word every time. When I said a while ago, I've kept you too long, I didn't let that be the last word. I corrected that. No, that's not right.
Right.
And we as Christians are going to have to learn to do that. We're going to have to learn to say when our flesh or our remembrance or our teaching is saying one thing, we've got to correct that nonsense. Let me tell you, whatever medicine God has, it's 1,000 times stronger than whatever medicine man has created.
Yes.
So if I can't get away from medicine, I just need to quote the right way. Let me tell you the best medicine that Jesus ever gave you. It's called his blood. All disease comes from the blood. You want it removed? Seek the innocent blood, the pure blood.
The more you have faith in Jesus and God, it spreads through your body.
Yes.
The blood of Jesus.
Yes. I probably should give you copies of a study one time about DNA and everything, how researchers have found out how much tremendously we're affected by salvation, how our literal... Yeah, we all say literal DNA has changed. My father is not in the grave.
That's right.
Your father is not in the grave.
That's right.
And your father cares about you more than you do.
Yes.
When are we going to start listening to him?
Yeah.
More than that, believe in him.
Yes.
Quit talking about my dead parents when I don't own any dead parents. Amen. My parents are alive and real. It's called the Trinity.
Amen.
I don't know what else. That's right. You gave up your ownership when you said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done.
Yes.
And don't ever turn back on it.
Amen.
You gave your ownership to the Father, and he will never leave you, never forsake you, and never harm you.
Amen.
He didn't crucify Jesus. Jesus did. He yielded himself. It was so, now let me tell you, you saw me break up a while ago with one vision. Jesus didn't die from the crucifixion. He died when his Father turned his back on him.
Yes, yes.
It killed him. That's why he died early. That's why he died quick. The reason I will not ever tell you that you'll get by with sin is because I know God has to turn his back on you. Mm-hmm. He cannot look at sin. So no matter what you think you're getting by with, the one thing you're not getting by with is God turning his back on you.
Yes.
And I don't want that.
Amen.
I want to please my Father.
Yes.
Enough? Because if you think I'm worn out, I'm not. Okay, I got one vote says long enough. And I'm not afraid of that. Y'all stand with me. It's time to go home and digest now.
Amen.
I'm sure there are CDs available. I know that Bob Romero wants one. He's already told me he did. And more than that, you might fix some so that you can give to whoever you think needs it. All right, now I will say this. Are all hearts clear? If you have condemnation in any way, I didn't do it to you. If you have conviction in any way, I didn't do it to you.
Amen.
But there is a Holy Spirit that did.
Yes.
If any public statements need to be made, any public confessions, I don't want them, but you may need them. Otherwise, you'll learn more about God in private than you will in public. Heart's clear. You okay?
I'm blessed by this word.
Father, thank you for your plan of salvation,
yes, yes,
which includes all life and godliness that pertains to godliness. That I don't have to walk this world fear of sickness, disease, and attacks, and where my next piece of bread's coming from. You get mad when I do that. And I'm sorry for doing it in the past. I don't worry about money. I'm not going to worry about sickness. I'm not going to worry about the next strain of flu. I'm not going to worry about any of that stuff. I cast those on you because I know you don't worry. You just stomp them. I walk today healed, saved, delivered. I walk today healed, saved, and delivered. Don't let one person leave this place today and not take this message eternally serious.
Yes.
Let this church prosper and be in health as they prosper and be in health, as their soul prospers.
Yes.
Let this crazy bunch of people on this crazy corner with this crazy church start drawing, because their message is the simplicity of salvation. What you did, Jesus, to the devil, pulling his teeth out, putting his neck under your foot and mine, removing any power and authority he's ever had, he doesn't have any now, you did that.
Yes.
And I thank you for it. More than that, I trust you for it. More than that, I'm going to walk in it.
Amen.
And I'll do it to please you, not to be comfortable.
Yes.
And if it takes a little work on my part, so be it. And Father, as I speak over them and to me, use us to spread this message.
Yes.
And for that, we'll give you eternally gracious grace, love, honor, glory. We trust you.
Yes.
And everybody that agrees with this says amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.